This is a Bohemian Beat, and I would like to welcome our next guest, Kim Banfi, singer-songwriter with a background in education, music and visual arts. Kim has just released her debut CD, State of Bliss, using her talent with word pictures to give pop a sophisticated feel. Kim, welcome to the Bohemian Beat.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Now, can you share with us an insight into your relationship to poetry and lyrics?
Oh, my relationship with poetry and lyrics goes back a long way, right back to when I was growing up. My mum was a poet and she loved to play with words and language and music, and it's her influence that's had the greatest, well, it's her that's had the greatest influence on me in that way. And right from when I was little, I had nursery rhymes and all the usual things like Robert Louis Stevenson and Mother Goose and all those things. But the first poem I really remember sticking in my head was one when I was in year two, and it was called The Elf and the Dormouse. And I've actually brought it here today, if you're interested.
Totally. Especially if you can remember that from what, year two? Excellent.
Well, I can't remember it word for word, but I actually have it in a book here. And it's called The Elf and the Dormouse, and it's by Oliver Herford. Under a toadstool crept a wee elf, out of the rain to shelter himself. Under the toadstool, sound asleep, sat a big dormouse, all in a heap. Trembled the wee elf, frightened, and yet fearing to fly away, lest he got wet. To the next shelter, maybe a mile. Sudden, the wee elf smiled a wee smile, tugged till the toadstool toppled in two. Holding it over him, gaily he flew. Soon he was safe home, dry as could be. Soon woke the dormouse. Good gracious me, where is my toadstool? Loud he lamented. And that's how umbrellas first were invented. And to my six-year-old brain, that was a really clever poem. So that's the first one that really stands out in my head, but there are many more as time goes on.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm taken in by a dormouse.
Yes.
And so how did your poetry move into music?
Well, growing up, I was born into a situation of grief, which my sister was killed in a car accident just before I was born, and my mother was driving the car, and she got injuries from that, and so I was born 6 weeks after that. So this whole, it had a huge influence on me growing up. But fortunately, to balance that out, my mum also had a really good sense of the ridiculous. And I discovered poems. I heard Hugh talking about Ogden Nash, and Ogden Nash figured large for me, and I loved his sense of the ridiculous. And particularly that poem he wrote about dogs. And
I think I know that one. Are you going to read that?
I think I have it here.
Excellent.
I'm not sure if I've marked it.
She's just going through this wonderful big book of poetry with lovely pictures. It looks about 100 years old.
It is actually, well, it's quite old. I won it as the winner of the Literary Shield in primary school for consistent creative writing all through primary schools. And I got it in year six. So it's been with me ever since, and it's gotten a bit mouldy and mildewy along the way, but it's a lovely volume by Lois Untermeyer. And I'm just trying to find this Ogden Nash. I thought I had it marked and I didn't.
That's okay. So well, she's got it.
I think I've got it.
Excellent.
But poetry's been huge in my life. So, you know, when I was in year five, I had this wonderful teacher who introduced me to things like W.H. Davies' poem about leisure. What is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. No time to see when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. No time to see in broad daylight, streams full of stars like skies at night. No time to turn at beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance. No time to wait till her mouth can enrich that smile her eyes began. A poor life this, if full of care. We have no time to stand and stare. So I, you know, to my it might seem that at 11-year-old you don't have a lot of care, but because I'd grown up with all that grief, I understood it. So a good foil to that was these Ogden Nash poems. Do you want me to read?
Totally.
It's called An Introduction to Dogs. The dog is man's best friend. He has a tail on one end. Up in front, he has teeth and four legs underneath. Dogs like to bark. They like it best after dark. They not only frighten prowlers away, but also hold the sandman at bay. A dog that is indoors to be let out implores. You let him out, and what then? He wants back in again. Dogs display reluctance and wrath if you try to give them a bath. They bury bones in hideaways, and half the time they trot sideways. They cheer up people who are frowning and rescue people who are drowning. They also track mud on beds and chew people's clothes to shreds. Dogs in the country have fun. They run and run and run. But in the city, this species is dragged around on leashes. Dogs are upright as a steeple and much more loyal than people. So that was a good foil to all the seriousness, but I loved the sense of ridiculousness that, and also the unusual rhymes that Ogden Nash utilised.
Yeah, it's just interesting how we have all these different poets who can sort of really tantalise different aspects of ourself, really, whether it's absurd or it's different way words are used, or the play, or the expression of emotion without it being too in your face, but you can still relate to that.
Yeah.
So it's all really about just finding those poems. It's very therapeutic as you...
Oh, yeah, so is songwriting. Songwriting, poetry, writing, it's all therapy.
And now talking about songs, we're going to go to a track from Kim's album, State of Bliss. Now, I chose Jacaranda Time. Do you want to say a few words about that track?
Jacaranda Time, I grew up in an area of Sydney where I was... Lucky enough, my parents put a Cape Cod extension on our house, so I had an upstairs bedroom, which I thought was pretty special. But from my upstairs bedroom, I could see 17 jacaranda trees and 21 flame trees, and it always stuck out in my head at that time of year because there were all these splashes of purple and red. And years later, I was commuting from the Blue Mountains to Sydney on the train line, and it had the same effect because the train line's elevated, and you could see all these jacaranda trees. And at the time, Richard Glover on ABC Radio 702 said, "We need a quintessential song about Sydney." And I wrote it on the way home on the train. And this is that song.
Time in Sydney, purple glimpses show. Jasmine-scented breeze is blowing through my window, but it's you I miss, longing for your kiss. The promise of a summer love, it's your caress I know. Walking down the street, people that I meet never hear me sigh as I pass them by. Thought I saw your face gone without trace, leaving me here with summer-colored skin. Coffee sippers, laughter floating through the dappled shade. People wander window shopping through the arcade. Lovers in the park, it's so long till dark. The promise of the summer love, people that I meet never hear me sigh as I pass them. Thought I saw your face gone without blossom carpet underneath the trees. Glimpse of turquoise harbor water, hum of the bees. But I long for you. It seems nothing's new. The promise of a summer love, the longing.
The Bohemian Beat, and we are speaking with Kim Banfi. Kim, tell us more about your debut album.
It's not officially released yet. It's not officially released until the 20th of June this year. And it's been a long time coming because I was actually a bit scared to get myself out there. So, and I noticed Hugh was talking about self-doubt. I think it's something we all battle with.
Yeah.
But it's a song that has various influences. It's, at times it's jazzy, at times it's folky, at times it's poppy. But lyrics always feature really strongly in my songs because I am a lyrics person. And I've got a background singing classical music. So that classical music kind of influences my writing as well. So it's not real straight pop. It's
because you've sort of dabbled in all sorts of other arts, visual arts. You've taught art. You're in education. I mean, you've done a lot of things, and you've obviously dabbled in all sorts of artistic aspects. So this is quite a new framework for you.
I've always sung. My mum told me she was actually rocking me to sleep one day as a baby, and she was singing me a song, and I hummed it back to her. And at first, she thought, where did that come from? And then she realised it was from me.
The radio?
So I've always sung, but I had a period of about 20 years where I didn't sing and I got miserable and just tried to be what everybody else wanted me to be and found that didn't make me happy. But I always painted, expressed myself in visual arts and quietly wrote poetry without showing anybody.
And then you sort of move that into more lyrical form.
Yeah, and I started, I took lyrics to another friend of mine who was a songwriter and said, can we do something with this? So he put music to them and, it grew from there.
Well, that's amazing. Would you also like to, you brought a couple of poems, would you like to share?
I did. Here's one from my more angst-ridden days. Thank you. Thankfully they're behind me. It's called Shadows. Sorting out my feelings is not an easy task. There are dark and threatening monsters buried deep. Your love has stirred the depths. The numbness slowly thaws. But fear and anger waken once asleep. For so long I've buried pain, keeping strong, remaining sane, while the seething mass mutated underneath. Unjust irony, it seems, that your cherishing and care have awoken complications of my grief.
That's intense.
Yes, as I say.
But that's beautiful. I mean, this is where, poetry is just a lovely way to sort of put those things out there and even, you know, look back at them and somehow you've created something beautiful that can be shared with other people.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is not that it's your story, it's that it's so many other people's story as well, and it's a common thing that binds us together as human beings. Mm.
And there's not enough of that, is there? Not enough poetry connection and musical, but real music, real poetry that actually, you
touches
know,
the heart.
Yeah. Sort of adds something, or, oh, yeah, I can get with that, or, you know. Mm. You've got another one to share.
I have. This one's a totally different one. I wrote this when I was staying on a farm in West Virginia, and we were there in summertime, and summer in West Virginia, they have these wonderful fireflies, and they're not like the fireflies we have here. They almost do this dance together, like they form almost figures of eight and dance together. So it's this mesmerizing effect that's quite different from the ones we have here. This is called Summer Night, Cedar Cove. Black velvet night. Dim tree formations break away from forest cloisters into the midnight meadow. Slowly, green iridescence flickers ethereal pinpoints in the silent mantle. Deafening hush. Firefly bachelors flash display, enticing others, courting the midnight maidens. Brilliantly, a thousand green gems mesmerize the velvet in frenzied staccato swirls.
This beautiful image there. It's that visual representation as well. You've got that sort of visual.
Yeah, I'm a very visual poet, I guess, because of the visual art connection.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, Kim Banfi. This has just been wonderful to have you on the Bohemian Beat today. Now, we're going to end with another one of your tracks called Wandering. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Wandering, I can actually hear influences of... I loved T.S. Eliot as a teenager. I just was introduced to him and just thought it was wonderful.
What was it about Eliot?
I loved the stream of consciousness writing, because to me that was new at the time. And I also liked the way he could build word pictures in your head. So the winter evening settles down with smells of steaks in passageways, the burnt out ends of smoky days, and now a gusty shower wraps the grimy scraps of withered leaves about your feet, etc., etc. So I can hear influence of him in my next song. I can also hear the influence of a nursery rhyme that I learned as a child. One misty, moisty morning when cloudy was the weather, there I met an old man clothed all in leather. He took me by the hand and he told me very plain, how do you do and how do you do and how do you do again? So there's an influence of that. Plus there's also an influence of Carl Sandburg's poem. He wrote about the fog, and I can't remember it exactly, but it's something like the fog creeps in on little cat feet. So it's that whole use of metaphor that I think is quite strong in this next song.
Wow, that is just fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Bohemian Beat. Haven't we had fun?
And I have.
It's all about having fun. Poetry is actually not really easy to absorb if you're not in a happy or, you know, if you're not in that receptive, fun
that
state
space.
Of mind. If you're sort of tired and angsty, it's hard to get into poetry. Even good poems can be tiresome when you're in that sort of space. But not here on the Bohemian Beat, because it's all about fun, sharing, and poetry and music. And make sure you tune in again next week to the Bohemian Beat for more poetry and music. We will end with Kim's track, Wandering.
Glimpses through the glass. the spun gold thread of stories quilts the night. Silently, feeling free to wander as we choose. The mist, a thick and ghostly shroud, muffles sounds that would be loud, and gives an air of magic to the night. Spun gold, thread of stories quilts the night.